sharing today. That's the truth that we're coming around, rallying around, singing around today, is that this is our story, praising our Savior all the day long. Today, no matter what your story is today, maybe you find yourself in the shadow, the valley of death. Maybe you find yourself in some deep darkness. Maybe you find yourself in a point of life where you're like, man, I never thought I'd be here. I never thought I'd be that person. I just want you to know God has never changed his thoughts towards you. His heart's the same for you since it has been from the beginning of creation. He loves you and he's pulling you closer. And what we know about testimony is testimony is so powerful because testimony stirs our faith for what could be in our own lives. When we hear somebody else's testimony, we start thinking, man, if God did it in their life, maybe God could do it in my life. And one of the ways testimony is explained is it's this cry to say, God, do it again. And we just heard a testimony. And so I'm telling you, in this room, there's some seeds of faith that I just want to speak to and I want to call out. Because whenever we share testimony, like Kyle just did, 12 years of addiction to opioids and alcohol, days where he's on the streets, days where he's in homeless shelters. And yet God was never far from Kyle. He was there all along saying, come on, son, get your head up, stand up. I got a better path for you. And so I don't know your story. Maybe opioids aren't your issue. Maybe you got a past with some other kind of addiction. Maybe you find yourself in a cycle of sin. You're like, man, I can't break out of this like Kyle, like I've had in my life. We're like, man, I've tried, but I can't do it. Maybe that's you today. Or maybe you got a relative today that you're like, man, I got a son or a daughter that's in that cycle. Or I got a parent or I got a friend. And so I just want us to take whatever faith we have and to hold that up to the King today. And can we just ask God to multiply the testimony that Kyle shared today in your life and the life of this church? And so if you specifically, we're not going to embarrass anybody, but if you struggle with some kind of addiction and today you're like crying out, Lord, I want to be broken. I want this to be broken off me. Or if you have somebody in your life that has an addiction, and if you're online, this goes for you as well. I just want you to just put your hand on your heart real quick. And I just want you to ask the Lord. This is not a pastor. You don't have to come to me. Thank God we have a pastor. His name is Jesus. We have an intercessor whose name is Jesus, who stands at the Father on our behalf. And I'm telling you, Jesus is strong and able today to break every chain. He's already broken it. He just wants to teach you to walk in the freedom he's already given us at the cross. That his blood is no less powerful today than it was 2,000 years ago when he hung on the cross and died and he said, it is finished. When he walked us out of any fear of sin, any fear of death, no longer, that we are now sons and daughters of the King forever to be his. So if you find yourself in a similar situation with my cousin Kyle, or where I've been in my life, where you just feel like, man, I can't break this thing in my life and it's just holding me back, I'm missing so much. Today, I want you to grab the faith of this testimony and say, God, would you do it in my life? And it's real simple. I just want you to invite Jesus into that space in your life and just be honest with him. If you got a family member or a friend you're praying for, just pray for them by name and just say, no, Satan. Yes, Jesus. Just literally, just say that right now. Just say the person's name. No, Satan. You're not going to have your way with this person any longer. I speak the name of Jesus, a better word, over their life, over my life. And so, Lord, in this room, we just say thank you for testimony. Thank you for lives. It's not just Kyle. Many people in this room, and me included, where you reached down in a moment of despair as when we saw no hope, and you gave us hope. So, Lord, I'm just praying that you would multiply that, that we just say be broken off in Jesus' name, addiction. The lies, the shame, the guilt that come with addiction, we say be gone in Jesus' name. We bind the enemy and his lies and his voice. And we just say, Lord, would your voice in our lives be a megaphone? Even today as I preach, would you allow your voice to stand out among all the other voices? The voice of our flesh, the voice of the enemy whispering lies. Would your truth set us free today, Lord? May this be a house of freedom today. I thank you that you came to set us free. I thank you already done it. So, Lord, I pray that we would just see it happen in our lives more and more. All of us would grow in the reality of who you are, that you really have set us free. teach us to walk in that and to not go back to the slavery that we were once in. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you. Thank you for meeting us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would make the scriptures come alive today. Meet us where we're at. I pray that you would just supernaturally work in us to enlighten us to Jesus and who he is, and that we would find ourselves today in the text, and it would bring hope and encouragement, healing. Yeah, just ask the Lord before we start here. Just say, Lord, would you speak to me today? I want to hear you. Just ask him right now. He loves to answer that prayer. Jesus, we love you, we love you, love you. Thank you for allowing us to gather together online and in this room. Thank you for promising to be here. Just open up our eyes, our ears, and just awareness that you are here in our midst, that you are not far, but you are right here. We give you glory and honor and fame. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Can we just give the Lord a clap real quick, man? I just want to praise the Lord. Come on. Woo! Man, I'm usually fired up to preach, but when you baptize your cousin, man, I don't know what's going to happen today. I'm going to be fired up. Hey, I want you to grab your Bible or your phone app, whatever you got, and I want you to turn to two passages today. Psalm 23 that we read earlier, and then I want you to turn to John chapter 10. These are the two primary texts that we're going to be in today. And today we're going to continue a series that we've entitled Unshakable, because in this season on the earth, there's a lot of shaking going on. There's a lot of stripping away. There's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of unknown, so much unknown. And what we've been asking is, how do we, as people that are not in of the world, but we're in the world, how do we navigate a season of shaking on the entire planet? How do we navigate that as people that follow Jesus? Because what the Hebrew writer says is that we have and continue to receive a kingdom that is not shaken. Anybody excited about a kingdom that's not shaken? How many of you know the kingdom of God is not shaken right now in this season of shaking? Anybody know that today? Like, so how do we as people, how do we live as people of a different kingdom, citizens of a heavenly kingdom, when we're still on this earth? That's what we've been asking, and that's what we've been going after, and really the heart behind this is whatever we set our eyes on begins to manifest in our life. Do you know that? Whatever we focus on, whatever we give our thoughts to, that becomes fleshed out and realized in our life. And so if I'm looking at fear all the time, don't have to look too far for that. Guess what manifests in my life? Fear. If I'm setting my eyes on anger and divisiveness and all kinds of hatred, guess what begins to manifest in my life? All those things. But the same thing is true if I set my eyes on things of God. If we could, in this season, and really any season, if we could just set our eyes on the one who is unshaken, if we could catch a glimpse of the one who we sing about, who we say, you are good and you are my Savior, if we could catch a glimpse of him and who he is, I believe we begin to see that reality of his rule and reign in our lives today on this earth as it is in heaven. Does anybody else get excited about that truth? And so we've been looking at the names of God. Richie last week, didn't he do an incredible job? Anybody love Richie? Oh my goodness, Richie, Christy, bringing it. Man with two first names, crushing it. I love Richie, man. He talked about God, our rock. Oh my goodness. And he said this one thing. He's like, man, when we're going through pain, the hope is not that we don't look at our pain, that we don't look at the darkness, but that we look to Jesus as a way through our pain. And really today, I want to talk about that aspect. Today, we're going to look at Psalm 23, the first couple verses, and then we're going to jump to John chapter 10. In the very first verse of Psalm 23, we see a very well-known section of Scripture. This Scripture is quoted a lot, talked about a lot. Most of us have probably heard this scripture before, but in Psalm 23, verse 1, it says, the Lord is my what? My shepherd. Okay, the Lord is my what? Shepherd. I shall not want. So the Lord, that's actually in your Bible, it should be capital, all capital, L-O-R-D, and that Lord is Yahweh, okay? Now remember, when we say Yahweh, we've been teaching on this a lot, Yahweh means the existent one. It's the proper name of God. It's that he has always existed. He was, he is, and he will be forever. And so when we see this, the Lord is my shepherd, this is the actual original language. You know, Yahweh, they didn't have all the letters, but it's Yahweh Raha. Everybody say Raha. Now get the Raha, right? I don't know if that's actual translation, but it sounds good, right? But Yahweh Raha And it literally translates, the Lord is my shepherd. So David's writing from his own experience here. He's writing because David is a shepherd. He's a shepherd boy. We know that about David. And so he's writing out of the context of his own life. And he's thinking about God, and he's writing poems and writing songs to God out there with his sheep, hanging out, counting the stars. And he's trying to put words to who this God is that created all things. And in Psalm 23, he pens this incredible poem. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, to us, that may not mean as much because, I don't know, the last time you saw a shepherd, probably not real recently, but today I want to unpack what this name of God reveals about the nature of God. That's what his names do. It's not just a name we call him, but it's actually in his name is the DNA, the nature of God. So my hope is today to open up the scriptures that we would know him more clearly today. Anybody want to know God more clearly today? I want to know him more clearly when I leave out of here. And so the scriptures say that he is our Lord. So he is the Lord, my shepherd. And so that shepherd, here's the general what a shepherd is. It's an overseer, it's a provider, it's a defender, and it's a watchman. So there's a lot more involved with being a shepherd than just kind of going out and hanging out with the sheep. There's a really intentional push in this. And so it's somebody who oversees the flock. They have responsibility for their sheep. They are there to provide, to make sure they get their sheep to the right kind of pasture, the right kind of grass. They're there to also be a defender when somebody comes. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. And then they're also a watchman. And a watchman just simply means that they are always scanning the horizon, looking for something that could be coming against. They're aware of what's happening right there in the midst of their flock, but the watchman has this ability to see beyond what's happening in the moment. The watchman sees out a little bit further. The first thing I want you to write down about a shepherd is that a shepherd has a very different perspective than the sheep. We're talking about God, who is our shepherd. I want you to recognize that shepherds, they have a different lens. They have a different perspective than their flock. Now, just think about a shepherd. So if I'm standing up, you know, I'm on 2 feet. I've got a different gaze and a different perspective than the sheep who maybe this high, and the sheep's head are usually down eating. And so the sheep have a different perspective than the shepherd. The shepherd knows where they're going. They know where they need to get to. They can see things differently than the sheep. And I want you to just know this about God. If he is our shepherd, I want you to know God has a different perspective of what you're going through than you have. God is not so consumed with the anxiety that we honestly have in the moment because he sees the big picture of what's going on. He knows the storm that you're walking through right now, that on the other side of that, he is going to be continually with you. And so our shepherd, God, our shepherd, he has a different perspective than you and I do, and that should give us some peace. It should give us some hope that as I navigate the trials of life, the struggles of life, that I may not know it all. I may not understand it all. I may get frustrated and angry, and yet I'm with someone who sees it all and has eyes on everything and will never leave me. This is the Lord, our shepherd, that we're talking about today. He has a different perspective than us. And what we see in the next couple of verses, verse 2 and verse 3, it says, he, the good shepherd, God, makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads, if you have your Bible, I want you to underline leads. He leads me beside still water. He restores my soul. He leads, underline that again, leads me in paths of righteousness for his name. Now, how much did David say that he was doing? Not a whole lot there. Did you catch that? The shepherd is the one that's leading. The shepherd is the one that's providing. The shepherd is the one that's restoring. The shepherd is the one that leads us to paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is the shepherd. I want you to know the shepherd's role is to lead. The sheep's role is to follow. This is what we're talking about when we talk about the Lord is our shepherd, that he as a shepherd, his role in all of history and today and forevermore is he is the leader, and what you and I are called to as the sheep are to follow because he has a different perspective than us. He knows where he's navigating us, and our job is to set our eyes on the shepherd and to trust him in the process that he really is good, like we just sang about. See, our job is to follow. His job is to lead. And then I love what verse 4 says. This is where I want to really dive into today. It says that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death or the darkness, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I really wanted to spend some time, and I want to hang out on this verse because there's so much power in this. And so the next thing I want you to know about a shepherd is that a shepherd smells like their sheep. A shepherd smells like their sheep. Now, I raised pigs growing up. Some of y'all knew that. My dad's here today, and so he knows. But when you're around pigs, guess what you do? And when I'm working with the pigs, when I'm cleaning out the pig pen, when I'm walking my pigs, yes, you do walk pigs. You know, they got to get that exercise on, get the, you know, hams going. And so, when you're around pigs, guess what you do? You smell like a what? A pig, right? Here's the thing I want you to know about a shepherd. The shepherd always smells like his sheep because he never leaves his sheep. And I love this picture. He says, man, I don't fear. Why do I not fear? Because who is with me? The shepherd. He's never left me. And so I want you to know that the shepherd always smells like the sheep because the shepherd is always with the sheep. There's never a moment he's away from them. And what I love about the shepherd is how he spends time with the sheep and how he doesn't just come out with the sheep when he's in the green pasture. But the shepherd, when it rains on the sheep, guess who else it rains on? The shepherd. When that sun is beaten down and they're looking for water, guess who else the sun is beaten down on? The shepherd. When we're navigating some rocky terrain, there's some danger on the left and right. It's not just the flock that have that danger. It's also the shepherd, because the shepherd is with the sheep at all times. And this is who we're talking about, God. And all that time of being with the flock, this is one of the things I love about shepherds, is that they know their sheep intimately. They know every one of their sheep extremely intimately. They know what sheep is stubborn. Some of y'all elbow your wife there, or your husband. They know which one, the shepherd knows which one of the sheep is a little cray-cray. Don't elbow your wife on that one. They know which one of the sheep tends to veer off, like Jason was talking about. They know which one of the sheep likes to just kind of wander and kind of do their own thing. The shepherd knows the gait of each sheep. And so he sees when that sheep is not walking at the pace that sheep usually walks, he knows something's wrong. And so he goes to that sheep and finds out what's wrong. He knows the sheep. He is inspecting the sheep all the time. He knows when they have flies up in their nostrils. It's a real thing, right? He knows when they're scared. He knows when something's not right, because the shepherd knows the sheep intimately, everything about them. And if God is our shepherd, do you know what that means about what he knows about you and me? That means he knows us intimately. Scriptures tell us that he knows every hair on our head, that he knows every thought that we have, that he knows what we're gonna pray even before we pray, and yet he still invites us to pray. That he knit us together in our mother's womb. Listen, we have a tendency to deceive other people with who we are. And if we're honest, we even try to deceive ourselves. But I want to tell you today that the good shepherd, he knows you intimately and he still stays with you. Somebody just needs to hear that today. See, shepherds, they know their sheep and they know who they are, they know what they're about, and they know how they need to lead them, because sheep need to be led a little different, every one of them. And if we are the sheep, let me tell you, each one of us needs to be led a little different. Thankfully, we have a shepherd who knows us and how we need to be led, and he perfectly does it. And how we see David write this, he says, you are with me. This is why I don't fear. This is why you and I, we don't have to fear in the midst of a pandemic. Now we can be wise and we can make decisions, but we don't have to be fearful, because you and I know that who is with us? God is with us, right? And so he says, I don't fear in the midst of the shadow of death, the valley of darkness, because God is with me. And he says something really interesting. He says, your rod and your staff comfort me. Now I've taught on this a little bit before, but man, I've really felt pressed by God to really dig into this. And so the staff and this rod are really important. Now, the staff was a tool that the shepherds had, and it was kind of a long stick with a curve on top, and so they'd be walking around. They'd use it for navigating rocky terrain, but they would also use it to guide their sheep. So they would kind of put that staff out there, and they would guide it. Some text or commentary say that there was kind of like a little shovel on the end that they could shoot some dirt, and that dirt would kind of scare the sheep back over to the side. And so a shepherd staff was used to guide, but there's another reason why a shepherd had a staff, and this is where I really felt like the Lord was leaning in on this today, is it's also used to retrieve. So that shepherd hook is designed to fit around the neck of a sheep. And so we happen to have a rock cliff here, literally, we got a ledge here. And so sometimes, you know, sheep are sheep. We're just kind of going around, and then we fall over, and we find ourselves down in that we can't get out of, right? Like, Kyle, you know this. Like, sometimes we find ourselves in a pit. You're like, I want to get out of this pit. I see that, man, my other sheep are out of this pit, but I can't get out of this pit. Anybody else ever been there? I've been there more times than I'd probably like to admit. And so some of us, we feel like, man, I'm in the pit. I'm down there. And I want you to know something about the shepherd. The shepherd doesn't say, oh, man, sorry about your luck. See you later. Man, why did you fall in the pit? Are you so stupid? That's not the good shepherd. Doesn't do that. He didn't speak that. In our head, that's how we think he speaks. That's not the God I know. You know what shepherds do when their sheep fall into a pit, fall into an old well, fall off the cliff, is they take that staff and they go over to the edge and they reach down and they retrieve it back to the fold, close to the shepherd. And I want you to know today that God's staff is not too short to reach you where you are today. His staff is not short. Wherever you find yourself, whatever pit you find yourself, whatever darkness you find yourself, whatever hopelessness you have today, I'm telling you, God's staff is not too short to reach you, that he could pull you close. This is his desire for you today. And I believe even today, what he wants to do online and in this room is he wants to woo us and draw us, and he wants to reach down in some of our lives, and he wants to pull us closer to his heart. That's the God I know. This is the good shepherd that David talks about. But it's not just the staff that the shepherd has. I love it that he also has a rod, and a rod is an aggressive weapon, man. It's like, man, let's go time. Let's go out, you know, football's on. Let's get some testosterone going. So a rod is a weapon that's used against an enemy. So you're out there, imagine nobody around, and some wolves come, and it's just you and the sheep. Now, I'm telling you, the sheep can't do anything against a wolf, but right? And get scared and kind of like, if it's a fainting goat, maybe just fall over. You guys know what I'm talking about. But the shepherd, his role is not just to watch and oversee, but to also protect. So that shepherd has the courage and the know-how to take that rod, that other thing that he has, and he goes out and he uses that rod to take away the threat towards the flock. This is God. I'm telling you today, some of you need to know, you have a protector, and he comes against the enemy in order to allow you to be safe and secure. And you say, well, Derek, what enemy are we talking about? Well, I'm talking about the enemy of your soul, Satan. Not flesh and blood, but the enemy of your soul. And this is what the enemy of your soul wants for you today. I'm gonna just real clearly tell you the enemy's scheme in your life. He's got two weapons, the enemy. We talk about this a lot. Accusation and deception. It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, the fall of humankind, that the enemy has the two same weapons. He always has accusation and deception. He is the accuser of the brethren. This is who he is. He's always saying, man, Derek, you're not worthy. Derek, there's no way God would love you. Derek, man, you're trash. Man, there's no way you can do what God's put in your heart to do. Derek, and what's he do? Accusation, false identity. This is what he does to us. And the good thing about God is that as accusation comes, this is what God does. We have one whose name is Jesus, who stands at the Father. And he says, Satan, no. My word speaks more over yours. This is who Derek is. He's forgiven. Anybody glad you're forgiven? He's innocent. Not just without sin, but I'm innocent. And so God takes the accusations of Satan and he speaks what's really true about who I am. And as Satan speaks deception, this is what God does. He gets that rod out, boom. Satan's like, man, there's no hope for you. There's no way you're gonna get out of this addiction. There's no way you're gonna turn your life around. Just whispers. You guys know what I'm talking about? I don't think I'm the only one that hears those whispers. You're not good enough. You're gonna be a failure. You're a terrible father, terrible mother. You're a terrible son, you're a terrible daughter. This is the whispers of Satan, deception, deception, deception. And this is what God does. He takes that rod out. He says, this is what truth is. Let me tell you what truth's true. I'm your father and you're my son. Listen to my voice. And so we see this shepherd that David talks about, the Lord is my shepherd, man. He walks around and he has a staff to guide us, to retrieve us, and a rod to protect us against our enemies, to speak truth, to speak identity, and to navigate us through the challenges of life. Now, as we talk about this names of God in the Old Testament, Psalm Old Testament, what we've been doing is saying, man, this God in the Old Testament is not just a God who stayed in the Old Testament. If we read about God, a name of God in the Old Testament, we know that Jesus came to do what? To reveal the Father fully. And so whatever we see in the Old Testament God, we see Jesus bring clarity and alignment to who God really is. And so if you have your Bible, jump over to John chapter 10. We're talking about the shepherd. Specifically, we're looking at the good shepherd that David is speaking about. And in John chapter 10, we see something interesting happen. We see that Jesus comes on the scene and he reveals the Father. I'm going to start in verse 10 because it talks about the enemy, where God brings the staff and the rod against the enemy. Chapter 10, verse 10 says, the thief, that's Satan, he comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Look at verse 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. This is Jesus. He says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep, says, peace out, and the wolf snatches them up and scatters them. But he flees because he is a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. But look at verse 14. He says, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Today I want you to see that Jesus came to reveal Yahweh Raha. That as Jesus came to reveal the Father, one of the ways that he came to reveal the Father is that he came to reveal that he is the good shepherd, that he is revealing the Father's heart in this. And to me, it's such encouragement here because he says some interesting things here in this text. He says first that he lays down his life for the flock. We know love because he first loved us. And we know love is this, that he laid down his life for us. And so we have a good shepherd who willingly sacrificed his own life so that you and I could live. This is the kind of shepherd that we have. This is the good shepherd that we read about in Psalm 23. But then he says something interesting here. He says, I know my sheep. I know my own and my own know me. And so I talked about how sheep know how shepherds know their sheep intimately. And what I want you to see Jesus saying here is that he knows us intimately. He knows our desires and he desires that we would experientially know him. This is really important. I want you to hear this today. The hope of today is not that I would say I hypothetically or I mentally can do the thing that I know that God loves me and he wants me to know him. I hear. But what Jesus says here is that he wants you to experientially know who he is. This is what we see in Jesus. It's the good shepherd, that he not only doesn't want us to fall away, but he actually wants us to grow in knowing him. And he wants us to be comforted today that he knows you. He knows all of you. He knows, man, your best days. He knows your worst days. He knows your best seasons. He knows your worst seasons. He knows your doubts. He knows your fears. And yet he still says, I'm your shepherd. Come closer. We see this at the beginning of chapter 10, verse 2. It says, but he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. I love this text. The sheep, who's the sheep? That's us. It says that we hear the voice of the shepherd And he calls his own sheep by name. Why? Because he knows us intimately. He knows who we are. He knows how he created us. That's why we talk about identity at this church so much, that he gives us identity, that he is the one that does that. Not you and me, not culture, not our family, but God alone can give us our name. He gives us our identity. And so he says he knows their name and he leads them out. And it says the sheep follow him for they know his voice. Man, this is so beautiful. And this is why, honestly, at Christ Fellowship, why we spend a lot of time and why we value the voice of God so much and why we have classes like Hearing God, why we believe in the prophetic, why we believe that not just your pastor, but all people can hear God, because Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice. And from that place of knowing my voice, they will be led. Listen, some of you right now, some of us right now, we're in a season of chaos. And we're like, man, I don't know what to do. I got a job opportunity, or maybe I lost my job, or I got some family conflict, or I've got something going on, and you're feeling conflict today. I'm telling you today, the hope that we have as a follower of Jesus is that you know his voice, that you can hear his voice, and it's by his voice that he leads us out. Last thing I'd love for you to write in your notes is this, that Jesus is near to you, that he knows everything about you, that he understands your pain, he understands your doubts, he understands your fears, and in the midst of that darkness, Jesus is offering to restore, to guide, and to protect you. This is who God is, the Good Shepherd. I want to go to one more text today, and we're going to close up. I'm going to spend a little time listening to God's voice today in community. The last text I want to read to you is from Hebrews chapter 10, because I think it encapsulates everything we've talked about today. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 through 21 says this. It says, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm gonna read that again. May the God of peace, who needs some peace in their life right now? So it's not just a God who has some peace, it's not just a God who knows about peace, but you and I, we're coming here together to be around the presence of a God who is peace, the God of peace. It says that he brought Jesus back from the dead, who's not just the good shepherd, did you catch that? But he is the what? Great shepherd. Somebody say amen to that. Man, he's not just the good shepherd, but he's the great shepherd. And through his blood, through his death on the cross, through his resurrection, he offers us life. You see, he says, I lay down my life for my sheep so that they can have life. This is what it means that the Lord is our shepherd. That he sees us, that he knows us, that he provides for us, that he protects us, that he leads us, that he guides us, that he is in our midst. And it says here that Jesus, through his death, through his life, through his resurrection, and through his intercession right now for us, he's given us everything we need to walk in the will of God. Isn't that encouraging? And some of us are like, man, the will of God is so out there. I don't know what God's will is for my life. Well, here, right here, it says that we're actually given everything to do the will of God. You know what the will of God is? For his rule and reign to be established in your life. You know what the will of God is at your workplace? For his rule and his reign, the atmosphere of heaven, to become the rule and reign at your workplace. You know what God's heart and will is for your family, for your house? To establish his rule and his reign in your house. And what we know through Jesus, our good shepherd, our great shepherd, is that he's given us everything we need to see that happen. Everything we need. Because when we follow Jesus, what we get is Jesus. And let me tell you, Jesus lacks nothing. Lacks nothing. Not only do we get Jesus, but Paul says that we are in Christ. So Christ is in me and I am in Christ. Isn't that incredible to think about? And then he goes even further and he gives us his Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of God, and we become his temple, not a temple made by hands, but a temple knit together by God. And so now the Holy of Holies, we become that. We become a dwelling place of God. And so everywhere I go, guess who goes? The good, great shepherd who lacks nothing. And so when I navigate the valley of the shadow of death, man, I don't have to fear because he is with me. Let me tell you, following Jesus does not mean everything is gonna go your way. Following Jesus does not mean it's only gonna be green pastures. Man, we want those green pastures though. It doesn't mean that storms aren't gonna come. Following Jesus doesn't mean that your bank account's always gonna have seven figures. Following Jesus, this is the promise that we have in our good shepherd, is that he won't leave you. That he's gonna get rained on just when you get rained on. That when you feel like everybody's against you, he's gonna feel that pain. When you feel that loss, let me tell you, he feels that loss. What we know about Jesus is that he actually weeps when we weep. How incredible is a shepherd is that? He knows you, everything about you. And he still says, come on. And I believe even today, he's got his staff out and he's offering to draw us close. He's offering us, hey, let me get you out of that pit. Stop trying to get out of your own, man. You're all muddy. You've tried, and you're just worn out. Let's try something different. Why don't you let me pick you out of that pit? Why don't you set your eyes on me, hear my voice, and follow where I go? This is the path of Jesus. This is what it looks like to follow him. So today we're gonna close with just a little time of corporate prayer and just asking the Lord a couple questions together. And so today, honestly, this is the most important part of the day, more than singing, more than preaching, but for you to hear from the Lord yourself, the God who speaks, the one that says that his voice, that his sheep hear his voice. And so if you want to keep your eyes open, man, you can. There's no secret formula to praying. I pray with my eyes open all the time. But if you want to not have some distraction, feel free to close them. Let's just ask simply the first thing, Lord, what do you want to put down in our hearts? Just ask the Lord what he wants you to know about him as the shepherd, the good shepherd. Just ask him right now. Just give you some space to talk with the Lord and then shut your mouth and listen to the Lord. God, what do you want us to know about you as the shepherd that we talked about today? And as the shepherd, I believe that today God wants to highlight maybe some lies that we've been believing about ourselves or about him. And so would you just ask the Lord that his rod, this rod of truth, that he would reveal any area of your life where you're believing a lie about who he is, that maybe he's not really not good or whatever that is, or maybe you're believing a lie about yourself and what he's said over you. Ask him to reveal any lies you're believing, and then ask him to tell you what is actually true. This is so powerful. It changes our lives when we do this. It's the great exchange. What I feel like is true, what I'm believing for his truth. It's that truth that sets us free. So just ask the Lord, God, is there any area where I'm believing a lie? Or I'm listening to the whispers of the enemy. And ask him to bring the rod, to bring truth, and to drive out the enemy so that you can rest who he is. And lastly, as we pray, just thinking about the staff and how it guides, but specifically just felt like the Lord has highlighted how it retrieves. And maybe some of us today, you feel like you've been running from the Lord. Maybe you feel like you're that sheep that fell off the cliff and you've been trying on your own, but man, you got no ability to get out of that hole, that pit. Today, I just felt like the Father's heart was to say, hey, get your eyes up on me. I want to pull you closer. Or maybe today I've never even really known God before. And yet I found myself watching online today, or maybe you're in this room somehow and like, man, I've never talked to God. I've never heard God. I definitely have never followed God that I know of. And there's the beauty of God is that he's never been far from you. just had that picture of the staff, him reaching down, and that staff is not a weapon, but it's actually a comfort to draw us closer. And so if that's you today, if you find yourself far from God for whatever reason, I just want you to know his staff is not too short to reach you today. And if your heart is saying, God, man, I want that. I want to know you as the shepherd. I want to really know you and not just talk about you, not just go through the motions of religion, not stay on the fringes, but I want to be drawn close to your heart, Father. Today, we're just going to give you some space just to ask the Lord to forgive you. So if you're in this room or online, just you pray with the Lord. I'm not even going to tell you what to pray. You just, in whatever words you have, just ask the Lord to save you. Ask him to reach down into your darkness, into your mess, and to pull you out, to forgive you, to pour his love on you. Just do that right now. It's wherever you're at. Just ask him to pour his love out on you. And then I love making confessions, and we should just do this all the time. Declarations, confessions, but I think today maybe our just heart posture is if you want to, whether you just prayed or you've been with the Lord a long time and you got a great relationship with the Lord, but today maybe we just double down and say, God, I'm gonna follow you. I trust your voice. If that's you today, would you just make that confession? Say, God, I know you are good and you are my shepherd. You're the good shepherd, the great shepherd. And today I just say, I trust your voice. I know that you lead me paths of righteousness. You lead me to green pastures. You also lead me through the valley of the shadow of death. That even when I'm surrounded by my enemies, you anoint my head with oil, that my cup overflows. That surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So Lord, as a church, we just say today, make a declaration that we want to be a church that hears your voice, knows your voice, and we follow you. That we follow you through the days where we're on the mountaintop and we got great views, but also we follow you and trust you when things don't seem to add up. Lord, today we confess that the enemy is here to steal, kill, and destroy, but you came to give us abundant life. And we're just saying, Lord, we want your abundant life. We know it's found in obedience to your word and following your voice. So Lord, as a church, teach us to walk with you. Teach us to be shepherded well. Teach us to follow and to trust your leadership in our lives, individually, but also as a whole community, that we would see the Tri-Cities transform for the fame and the glory and the renown of Jesus himself, that we would see and hear more testimonies of people that their lives are getting rocked by Jesus and they're finding hope and peace and joy and healing. Lord, would your kingdom come? Let your kingdom come in the Tri-Cities as it is in heaven. In your powerful name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just a moment, we're going to let you guys roll out of here row by row, but we are going to just start to press in a little bit as a church. So we've got a few people that are going to be open for prayer. I know we haven't done this very much during the COVID season, and we totally respect if you're like, man, I don't want to be getting up in anybody's face. We are going to be wearing masks, and so we're honoring those. But if you want prayer specifically with somebody, I think there's a huge need for that today. I think people just need to be still prayed for. I still believe in that. And so we got a small team over here that they're healthy, and they're gonna have masks on. And so if you would like prayer, or maybe you're like, man, I made a confession to follow Jesus, and today I'm telling you, you need to share that with somebody. If you're online, you need to tell somebody today, man, I'm following Jesus, man. And we would love to come alongside of you. And so if you need prayer, man, we'd love to pray with you. A few people will be on my left here, your right. And other than that, guys, we bless you, man. Have a great day. We're going to release you guys row by row to go enjoy a great afternoon. We love you. We'll see you next weekend.